Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness and how we're evolving as higher conscious beings. And I have two of my favorite guests with me tonight, Dr. J.J. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog. And we're going to be talking about waves of the future, paradigms for humanity, and how we're evolving into new transgenic beings, trans-dimensional beings. So thanks for being here, both of you.
It's a great pleasure.
Let's really focus on the future and what we see. I mean, many people like Ray Kurzweil is saying that the humans and machines are merging. I think in that formula, something very vital about consciousness is missing. What do you think, Dr. J.J. Hertog?
Well, of course, my work as a futurist has been to work with people like Russell Targ, Harold Pudoff, and others of Stanford Research Institute background, who believe that the brain is embedded in consciousness. Consciousness is really the key to future science. And we're going to be talking about two major conferences that just happened, one entitled Global Future 2045, that looks at the position put forth by Ray Kurzweil, that artificial intelligence will overtake really the human community by 2045. The paradigm shift is doubling every decade, but there's going to be so much, shall we say, new advances in technology. A technological singularity will require a new type of humanity that will be more of a cyborg device, part machine, part human. And also in Israel this past 2 weeks when we were there at Jerusalem, there was the multi-sensory conference that dealt with how the human body is opening up to new avenues of expression, particularly how the brainwaves can be used for the activation of devices through a technical substrate that could be harnessed to the human brainwave. For example, people in wheelchairs, they could use a prosthesis they have in their anatomical system to activate a distant object, basically to open up a new avenue of expression. We, with Dr. Desiree Hertog, at the Academy for Future Science, believe that this type of paradigm shift can only go so far without consciousness. And we see it with the breakthroughs in science over the last 40 years in so many areas, particularly in the genome. Without ethics, the human body will be sold and divided like a cow at a marketplace. In other words, we will lose the human capacity and the human nature that makes us unique. And so this is really the dialectic that we're facing. And with great thinkers such as Sir James Martin, others, who are looking at a new evolutionary strategy, it is clear that the avatar model of the superhuman reminds one of Nietzsche's concept of the Übermensch, the superman concept that is nice to talk about from an intellectual perspective, but from a sociological, psychological, ecological perspective, it leaves a lot to be desired.
But the avatar model, just to explain, is the idea that consciousness can be moved from the biological being into another being, another consciousness, another artificial body or another biological body. That's the avatar approach. Yeah, that there is something missing from that. I think there's a piece that we need to figure out, but it is an interesting possibility, isn't it?
Well, the avatar is a nice buzzword because we're all familiar with the James Cameron great feature film Avatar, and one of my colleagues, Vince Pace, developed the technological platform that made it possible for cameras to give this whole sweeping idea of spacelessness and flight like a bird sweeping through various vistas of the future, vistas of the past and distant planets. And one has this idea that, you know, human extension is possible through electronic optical systems and things like that. And so there's a excitement here that causes the body's neurological systems to race more quickly with a sense of a emotional and a psychological high. But the missing part is the humanistic ethic of what this means in terms of massive numbers of people getting electronic eyes and ears that do not have respect for the life itself.
Right. So this is the real question with everything, is that we're coming so far now in technology that we're replacing bladders. We're able to make people literally, practically live till 110, 120 years of age. So what is really important here? Is it the body, or is it really the mind and consciousness? And this particular conference, which is Global Future 2045, was talking about how literally you almost get rid of the body at a certain point, or replace the body to become like a artificial intelligence, but that the brain and the mind is something that needs to be preserved, that then could even maybe the coding mechanism of your individual brain mm-hmm. could be saved and put into even other containers.
Well, that's the problem. They think the brain, the mind is just in the brain. The mind is throughout the body. The body is a conscious being. That's this Western fragmented way of
mind versus body.
Yeah, and there is no mind versus body. The mind and body are one and the same. And the other fact I want to throw out is that we are avatars. We are an accessing consciousness that is not necessarily in the body or of the body anyway.
Right.
So there's some kind
of... I think one of the confirmations of this, Alan, that we were talking, of course, about earlier, is the whole situation with when there's been organ transplants. I remember hearing about the fact that someone received a liver from someone, and they hated Mexican food until they received this liver. And after they received the liver, they loved Mexican food. And then there was also the story you brought up about a child who
received another child's heart. This is in a book called The Change of Heart. And
she started having these dreams and these yes. things about something, someone was killing her, and she could actually see the person who was killing her.
And she was able to pinpoint the person who did kill the little girl whose heart she received, and she was able to identify that murder because of the intelligence within the body itself. This is where people like Ray Kurzweil and some of these other people at this global conference 2045 are missing the fact. They think it's all brain, and this is what's wrong with Western ideologies. It's not just we are our bodies.
Well, your stories remind me of the work that Professor Stephen Schwartz has done at the University of Arizona, where he's documented cases where people have received not only the organs transplanted into their bodies, but also the emotional, the psychological, the sociological, the evocatory, the sensory interest and bias of that person who was the donor of that
right.
body organ.
So we're not saying it's negative to take an organ. I mean, that's fine, but you have to realize that there's a little bit of the consciousness that's still part of that, and that's what's really important here, that there's a little bit of that consciousness that's inherent in the cellular structure itself. And we think that that's because every cellular system within our body, Stuart Hameroff talks about the microtubules, so does the Keys of Enoch, by the way, but we also believe the blood and other aspects are all ways of receiving part of this consciousness within our body, and that the real consciousness, and I know, Alan, you agree with this, yeah. really is in the local field around us.
Yeah, I think that's where the metaphysical evidence, you know, I think, and some of the even scientific evidence is pointing to that, that awareness, the work of Lynn McTaggart in the field is showing we are actually embodying the field, that consciousness itself is a non-local aspect of who we are, and we're accessing it as if a radio is accessing a signal from the station. It's not like if you open the radio, you're going to find an announcer in there or music. And I think the brain is very much like that, because we're getting impressions all the time that are not coming from us. We're accessing a field.
And this is why the Keys of Enoch say that we are biotransducers. In other
yes.
words, we are vessels that can receive certain signal-to-noise relationships, but even beyond that, certain information packets of vibratory knowledge that are always there, present in all space. In other words, in the greater concept of a living, evolving universe, we are recipients of a much larger spectrum or multi-spectrums of information normally excluded by the laws of three-dimensional science and theological understanding of consciousness.
And although we're receivers of this local consciousness field, which I believe is also part of global field, and beyond that, the global field is part of a universal field. We're also energies that can put input into the consciousness field. So we're also adding to the consciousness field. So this is why we're so significant as beings on planet Earth.
So then let's talk about how we take some of the brilliant technologies that you have talked about here at the Global Future 2045 and at that conference
in Jerusalem,
and some of these ideas, these metaphysical concepts that in a way aren't new, but they're new to the Western mind. How do we take these, in a way, polarities of thought and make a new future that's holistic and whole, emerging of East and West? Because I think this hasn't been done at this global future thing. They had some, you know, spiritual teachers. They didn't connect with the technology. Your Academy for Future Science is very much about bridging the mystical and the scientific. That's what's so great.
Well, we've had the opportunity in Silicon Valley to know some of the great pathfinders at Stanford Research Institute, as well as through our work in the Asian traditions, Near Eastern traditions, and even shamanistic South American traditions, some of the spiritual thinkers who realize that we are a multidimensional life form. We are a being that can connect with past events as well as futuristic events if we have a proper holistic balance. This, I say, in opposition to those who have argued for a full body prosthesis with biological, shall we say, artificial blood substitutes and brain-computer interfaces with so-called small microelectronic devices or implants. These are nice devices to think about in terms of purely medical situations of living for a few years of a life extension, but we're looking now at the future of the 21st century where people will be able to live 130, 150, and even 200 years.
But how? How are they going to do
that? Well, this is what whole disciplines are about, from what we would call this geriatrics, the study of aging. We recognize that ocean turtles can live 400, 500 years. Other life forms on this planet that we share with the other life systems can teach us lessons that we can emulate.
But although the Eastern masters, and we were saying this earlier, actually saw really the consciousness, the power of consciousness as being really the source of substance, those of the West are taking more of the technological or the mechanistic mannerism. But you know what? Both, in a certain sense, take us to a certain point. And what's very interesting now, if we can go back to futurism, mm-hmm. in terms of the material world, is that many young people now, even children, are getting their stem cells saved in, you know, containers, so that later on when they're 50, 60, 70 and they need to regrow a bladder, they can do that. When they need new heart cells, they can do that.
But that's the genius of who we are. That's great. And I think that's very important advancement for civilization, for humanity, for having a compassionate society. We need that technology. And the part that I think some of these people, that these technical people, is that they forget the spirit. And I think that's where your work in the world is so important. How do we bring the spirit into this advanced technology?
Well, I was going to say, even though you said we need that when we were talking about the stem cells, and I agree that that's a positive technology right now, ultimately, if we were able to process a higher consciousness and a greater love, I believe that we don't need those type of things, because we can keep the body in its perfect state of health, because it really,
that's true,
originally is a perfect body and a perfect reality, but then we're mixing it with the environment, we're mixing it with our thought forms, which for the most part are aggressive or hostile for many people.
But even though we're bombarded by myriads of thoughts that we don't invite into our body, it's what we do with the organization of our mental software. I call it, in the Keys of Enoch, lightware. We have potential to expand our consciousness, and I've developed, as a result of my contact experience with higher intelligence, several methodologies, including musical linguistics, or what you would call transformational linguistics, where we tune into vibratory patterns already present in our body, in our DNA, RNA, and we reprogram our own DNA, RNA, our way of thinking into a wholesomeness, into a positivism that guides us through the negative, shall we say, black holes or dark, pessimistic moments that allow us not to capture and utilize the potential that we have in every cell of our body.
Well, maybe you could go through some of that at some point, but I think that's a technology that these futurists have yet to recognize, that we have a sound vibrational technology that is embedded into the human nervous system, like Noam Chomsky pointed out, that we humans have a basic instinct for language and for thoughts and for expression. And this I think, is so much more important, this type of organic, humanistic, I would call it a technology.
Yes, I deeply respect Chomsky's work. He uses the term deep linguistic experiences that go into the primal sounds. In my experience, I realize after 40 years of research, people have to have some type of verification or feedback that they are on the right wavelength. And this is what higher self-development is all about, human potential in capturing those eureka moments, those higher moments of inspiration, and allowing those really to be the floodlights or the beacons of light that put us into an alignment with other forces of life in the universe.
Yeah, that's the inner technology. It also goes back to what Desiree said, is that we wouldn't need this technical, you know, like with this, what are they doing, this cellular, this biomechanical stuff, if we had this, if we were in touch with ourselves. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, Desiree was referring to all the work that we knew through our colleague Robert Lanza, who was developing through advanced cell system research, or so we stem cell research, how one could grow back a bladder, one could grow back organs of the body.
Can you talk about that? How would you do
that? Well, he creates, as he showed his medical staff at Harvard and other places, advanced cell technology.
Well, you actually use a type of extracellular matrix is what they call
it. How do you get that?
Well, this is connected with the pig, actually. They've taken certain types of cells from the pig, which is like almost a chemical enzyme, and they put that to your stem cells.
And they create what we would call a micro scaffolding of the cell material into which this is inserted.
But I thought you were talking about more consciousness.
No. But first he was talking about the stem cells. But I think in addition to that, what we also have to say is that we ultimately we need to move forward, because there's only so much you can do with the physical body. And even as the 2045 project that we were talking about earlier is saying, that eventually the whole consciousness field, or the whole brain field, has to become almost like a hologram, or has to go into a different consciousness. So why do we have to be limited to the physical body? Are we limited to the physical body? I think that's the
real
question.
Not if you believe in remote viewing, if you believe in
remote communication.
Yeah, we're not. We have to get over the paradigm of what we've been taught to believe. And these scientists that came to this, in a sense, not, I wouldn't call it ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of very segregated sort of conference, like we're going to use science to solve the problems of humanity. In a way, they missed the whole point of what it is to be human. And
they missed the point that science itself is guided by consciousness. And so you have basically a new biosuit of software or hardware, but the lightware is missing. The spark of intelligence.
The spark of life itself.
Is missing. And this is the whole metamorphosis that's at stake, and why our other colleagues, such as Rupert Sheldrake, has assailed the scientific community for its reductionism, its materialism, its way of, shall we say, giving a new image of mankind that's simply a gloss over of the same materialistic metaphor of a carbon-based anatomical system.
Right. No, I agree. And Rupert Sheldrake is one of the pioneers in restructuring scientific thought. Let me just get back to an important point here at the conference. Ray Kurzweil, a lot of people talk about him. He is probably the leading futurist. He says there's a point of singularity where technology will overcome biology. I think that's ridiculous.
I don't think so, actually. I think that it can happen.
You do?
I do think it can happen, because the way right now there's a a robot that even small companies are getting. His name is Baxter. It's $22,000. It's all cost for this robot.
What does he do?
And he can learn things and do things like very quickly. It doesn't take a sophisticated programmer. So, and what we were also saying is in automobile factories now, they're giving some of the workers, not only are there like 700 or 1,000 robots at some of these automobile factories, but for the people that are there, they're giving them like almost like a kind of wristband, and they're putting that on their arm. And so if they have to do repetitive work, they're actually, this machine on their arm is helping them to like do the work and not stress their bodies. So we're already starting with this type of bionic situation. The question is that the direction to go? Or is this just trying to maintain like an eternal life process on the physical level?
You can go in both directions. What do you say, Doctor?
Well, I was going to say, to add what Desiree said, it's like putting the new body in velvet handcuffs, that you've got all these nice playthings, but basically you're chained to the events that control the playthings. So this is why we put together the Academy for Future Science 40 years ago, to look at the high frontier of a spiritual wave of opportunity that we can step into by raising our consciousness or sublimating our consciousness into higher direct experiences of consciousness expansion, and looking at science not from the standpoint of old paradigms, but the new direction of science guided by consciousness, where you have the experience, you have the discovery, and then you reinvent the method or the paradigm. You don't put things back into the cage of the old paradigm,
right,
trying to measure things that may happen once in every 1,000 years. These are realities that I believe had slowed down really the great Renaissance breakthroughs that took place some 400 or 500 years ago.
No, but there we're coming into an even greater Renaissance as we merge, like what the future science is, the kind of, with technology, with the dormant features within our own physiology, the biophotonic potentials. We are going to come into a new renaissance that will be, as you call, homo luminatus, right?
Yes, homo noeticus, thinking man leading to homo galacticus, galactic humanity leading to homo universalis, universal humanity, suggesting that we have within us, already embedded within the Adamic cell, the avatar cell. In other words, we are already programmed to be citizens of a greater cosmos, not simply on a three-dimensional earth plane, having to suck in all of these carbon byproducts, having to live in the causal fertility of doom by the super elites that want to play war scenarios upon environmental scenarios without any consideration of the life that's being wasted.
So the real question, in a sense, is are we here to kind of preserve the body for eternity so that we can keep our brains alive? Or can we develop our brain to be able to be more free and more aware? And I believe from the studies we've done with remote viewing that, and people are starting to pick up on this right now, that we can be here right now, but we can also send our consciousness to our friends or our family, and they can pick up on us as well. And we can really know things that they're doing and be much more conscious of all this. So I think the evolution of the mind is much more important in a certain sense than the evolution of the body.
Right. Well, those are two aspects, and I think, you know, we can evolve technologically, we can prolong the life of our body, but we have to tap into this inner knowing. But there also comes a point where we will embrace an unknown, I think. And I think this is what Dr. J.J. Hertug was saying, the Galacticus, where we're thinking we're a very limited humanity. And we just had, a disturbing discussion with someone who didn't believe there was more to life, or was not, I'm convinced.
Because of his own sensory eyeball-to-eyeball event.
Yeah, but there's an event coming where we are going to embrace the other or meet the other that is going to transcend or blow away all this human technology or these ideas of Ray Kurzweil's singularity, and this very limited, in a way, mechanistic technology. We're about to encounter a technology, I think, that is beyond Newtonian you know, what is it, repulsion, cause and effect? There's something else coming, well, and we're about to meet
it. We could say that it could not only cross from one end of the galaxy to another, or the universe to another, but also that goes into fifth and sixth and seventh dimensional realities.
Whatever that means.
Yes,
you
whatever
can't
that
just say
means.
That well, without
is,
explaining
This is
that.
The purpose of our academy, is to tie in with top mathematicians like right. Elizabeth Rauscher.
Right.
To tie into great remote sensing people like Harold Pudoff right. and Russell Targ, to tie into both the past as well as the future, because the answers that are before us have to be able to, shall we say, look at the greater entanglements.
Mm-hmm. Well, the entanglement also goes to what I was hinting at, ET contact, and that's already here. For people who are aware of it, if you dig just a little bit below the surface on the internet, you're going to find that our government has been covering up at least 60 years of ET technology, and that might come as a shock to some people.
Well, we had this great experience, all of us together, yeah. by being participants
yes.
at the public hearing in Washington, D.C. last month.
The citizens' hearing.
The yes. citizens' hearing, correction. Yeah. What was the overall feeling that you had from those who came in as skeptics?
Well, this was a 40 witnesses, UFO researchers appearing in front of former members of Congress, six members of Congress, one senator and five representatives. And I would say by the third day, these were skeptics, these Congress people, and they said, you know, they were getting paid, they were getting $20,000 to just sit there for 5 days. At some point during some of that testimony, they said, I got the sense, it's like, oh my God, this stuff is real, it's true, and why don't we know about it, and our government has been lying to us. So there's the sense that a tide is turning in the reality of ET awareness. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, and I have to say that these were not just people showing pictures of UFOs up on a screen. These are all people that had direct experiences yeah. in
who
some
had
way.
Also government service background, need-to-know clearances, right. as well as, shall we say, represented many, many years of experience in the field. And so this really ties into what we just talked about, Homo Galactica. So if there are other evolutionary systems out there, and we have evidence now from the multiple government disclosure programs throughout the world, then that might be a key to where we go with the raising of consciousness. We don't right. simply go to a mountaintop and flash a beacon that goes only, shall we say, a few minutes in the direction of Asia or Mecca or the Holy Land or, for that matter, a place on top of the Andes. No, we are able to flash a mental signal that goes light years away that is picked up by other consciousness life forms that are also biotransducers that connect with us, as the keys of Enoch tell us,
right.
and give us a vocabulary and a support system of spiritual thought forms or mental pictures that can guide us through these troubled waters where the paradigms come crashing down.
Right, but you're a very advanced being here on the planet. So are you, Desiree. And what I want to just talk about now before we get there is the resistance in the old guard to this possibility, and that's what's so frustrating. It really
well, I
is.
Think the main thing is, of course, this was put on by Stephen Bassett, who's working with ExoPolitics, and he truly believes that there's a cover-up.
Well, obviously.
And but the idea is that many people buy into that cover-up. And so, you know,
but how do we get those people? We just had a in conversation with a very intelligent person, very well read, very in a way spiritually open, that says you I don't believe that there's any UFOs here. I don't believe it's possible. I mean, I don't know exactly what he said, but it was a very closed-minded shutdown to any of the evidence we've seen.
So even, well, not only we've seen, but all these other people, we started saying, well, so-and-so had seen, like astronaut Gordon Cooper had seen a flotilla spaceships
in 1951.
This is way, and he knew exactly how high our technology could fly, and this was higher. And the guy just thought, well, he was seeing lights in the sky or something that had nothing to do with
it. And he was not laughed at. He was made an astronaut later.
Well, I don't know what that's about.
So suggesting that those in the government on the high end knew that there was something beyond Earth-based technology that Gordon Cooper saw. He was a reliable witness. He was pointing his finger to the future. But getting back to your original question, I think the answer is in the nature of what we call the intellect in the West. Stanton Friedman, a UFO researcher, and I both agreed the problem what we have faced with the engineering and scientific community in the West is there is a plateau that a person reaches in his intellectual experience thinking that he has all the answers. And this type of experience comes from a different direction, which requires a sense of humility, a sense of awesomeness in the face of other evolutionary possibilities.
Well, that's the same problem that the scientists that presented at the Global Future 2045 International Congress in New York faces, that they feel technology is going to give them, or mechanical technology is going to give them the final answer. And why I brought in this whole ET understanding is that we have to transcend the limitations of a thought form that has trapped us into thinking the human is a very limited being. And this has been fed by our government, by our education, by our religion, sorry, Desiree, that we are very limited. And what the I think the ETs represent is that humanity has a potential we have yet to discover, and that's what's so exciting, really.
Well, this is the whole brain roadmap that we have to open up. We have to face the fact that we are but one definition of life within the myriad possibilities, and we must have the humility to recognize it, just as the insects have enormous communication skills in the jungles of Brazil and Africa. We have just been able to come over the last few thousand years, just a microsecond away from realizing that we can turn on a little light switch within our brain that's going to require many light switches.
Desiree?
Well, no, I agree. And so this is opening up a whole vast reality for many people who maybe had thought about it but said, oh, there's no proof. And I think this is the hardest thing to do. And I feel that in the next 5 to 10 years, there's more and more of these sightings going on all over the globe. And this is, of course, what the citizens hearing. Some of them go back to the 40s and 50s, like Roswell. But some of them are really contemporary right now, where masses of people in Lima, Peru, in Guadalajara, in Mexico City, in places in Britain as well, and in certain places like in Texas here, are seeing these flying objects.
Well, we're talking about more than phenomena. We're talking about noumena. The mind has to be awakened to a higher roadmap if we're going to see the practical consequences. Right. And this is where we come in as futurists. We believe that there has to be a higher positive psychology and positive sociology to go with all of this. Otherwise, it's just abstract knowledge. The event at hand requires to build cities of the future, requires to have alternative energy, requires to look at the energy resources of Brazil and the Far East, recognizing that we have to work with population demographics by being able to adapt, perhaps, and lose, shall we say, more of our materialism and open more of an avenue of spiritual thought forms that can guide us through a gross national product of happiness.
Exactly. So that goes back to the fact, how much time and energy do we want to put towards the whole concept of taking care of just the physical body and becoming an automaton for the mind, or how much do we want to develop the mind and develop a higher consciousness to understand not only ourselves and each other, but also the vastness of the universe and all the life forms that exist.
The vastness of the universe is the very key to the heart of futurism. I mean, if we're really futurists, we can't think that we're limited to planet Earth and that this is the only place in the cosmos that has life.
And if we're really futurists, we can't believe that we have to go the speed of light or even less than the speed of light to go from one star system to another. Because really, with technology as advanced as we have gotten it in the last 150 years, you can imagine civilization even 1,000 years ahead of us would be much more advanced and have other technologies, which we've heard about from some of these contactees.
Exactly.
So we have a great opportunity through you, Alan, as a voice of the future, as a social networker, as a person who has been unashamed to go into crop circles and realize that you are there as the doubting Thomas to see, no, there's something to this higher reality, to team up with those in all of these other areas of futurism to say we have a brilliant roadmap if we can raise our consciousness, which requires basically let go, let the divine pulse come through us. Let us work in harmony. Let us work in holism. Let us work in healthy directions of how we use these great opportunities.
No, and thank you for that. And that's beautifully said. And I really appreciate the place of wisdom it's coming from. I want to go back to that point of transformation, epiphany. I think there's two types of epiphanies we're talking about. There's the spiritual and there's the sort of UFO. I mean, for me, I mean, I've talked to UFO researchers, and there's a point that they were just like regular people. And suddenly I talked to Lynn Gatai, who was a doctor who witnessed the Phoenix Lights, who didn't believe in any of this. Suddenly she sees these massive objects in 1997 over Phoenix. She can't explain it. And the only way to explain this is that there's something else. That's a point of epiphany. It's a point that happened to Linda Moulton Howe. I talked to these top investigators, Richard Dolenz. I said, when did it hit you that this stuff was real? And he said he was looking along in the research and just going through the documents, and suddenly he got this was a huge government cover-up and there's something that's happening. When that happens, it's not just a psychological shift. I think something in the mind awakens that there's something more to all of us. And this is sort of why I'm so insistent on the UFO fact, is that it awakens in all of us a greater humanity that you're talking about. But each person has to go through that point of epiphany.
Well, you know, we have this book called Over Self-Awakening, as Dr. Attack and
I
wrote it. It's our most recent book. And the very first phases of waking up, there's 72 steps to, we'll say, consciousness awakening. And the very first one is you need to figure out how to get beyond this limited consciousness reality of our third dimensional or fourth dimensional space-time. Mm-hmm. And once we can start seeing it, activating and understanding that we are more than just physical beings living here, that we can actually communicate with other levels of intelligence, that we can communicate with one another in a non-local consciousness field, then we start having that, what you're talking about, this epiphany that takes us out of our normal reality, and we can start developing, we can start evolving. Until we do that, we really can't. We can sit there like some of these gentlemen you were talking about earlier and try to figure out how to fix the body and how to live longer and how to do all these things that relate to only this material reality, and not realize that really our consciousness mind is so much more vast, is in fact capable of probably doing the same amount of healing and transformation on the physical body as we've seen in some cases.
Well, that's the other epiphany that I was going to make. I said too, and this, I mean, maybe it comes first, but there's a point where you can read all the spiritual literature, all the religious dogmas, but there's a point, I think, that everyone has to come to where they have the experience. I know you both had that experience. I had that experience where I knew that my consciousness was bigger than my body, and that started me on the path. It was in a kind of a spiritual setting, and I realized there was much more to me, and it wasn't just an effect of a mind. It was an experience that transcended previous beliefs, and in that moment, a door opens, and you walk through, and there's no going back to a limited reality. You know there's more to the human being, there's more to us, we're multidimensional. All these things start to download into the consciousness, and suddenly it's like there's a fountain pouring through you.
Well, because, yeah, you have blocked it, and actually if we want
well,
to
we were brainwashed to block
it. Brainwashed on
As
one
the keys
hand,
of Enoch say, the mind is taken off linear space and time.
What was Desiree saying?
No, I was saying, I was getting back to, you know, there's an old term in the Bible that says the unforgivable sin is a sin against the Holy Spirit.
And that unforgivable
sin is a sin against the Holy Spirit. And we believe that part of this is relating to that, because when you say these things can happen, that I'm only interested in three-dimensional things, things that I see and know and can feel and touch and realities like that, then you're blocking yourself.
But we're conditioned to do that. It's not like we're blocking.
For whatever reason.
No. People are coming and they're educated not even to tune into some higher level. If we could redo it according to the the levels we want in education. We give children the experience that they, because they're open right
away.
And
you know what? Children usually have that experience. But they become, like you say, programmed to
well,
not
that, so it's
it.
Not, I mean, I understand we're blocked, but our natural state is to be a multidimensional.
But we all have the ability to break through. That's the important thing.
If they're given a chance. Not many people, because they're taught to live for survival. If you're just working to pay the rent and feed your family, you can't even afford to look up in the sky and look at UFOs. You really can't, because what good? That's not going to put food on the table. But we're kept in that place by, I think, governments that want to limit. And I like to think the government is for us, not against us. But, you know, we need to create
a government.
Well, I don't
know if I would just pinpoint the government, because the government's one aspect.
And the government is us.
It's the whole cultural system that has looked at how to develop the physical reality and not develop the spiritual. That's what we were saying, the difference between East and West. The Eastern philosophy has looked first and foremost, at least years ago, because now they're getting into the Western culture as well, at developing the spiritual capacity. And really, many of them, you know, there have been many years that you have a problem with the difference between Pakistan and India, but for the most part, India has been a very peaceful country.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, when you look at other places in the West where there's been fightings and wars, you know, you have to say, well, which is the better scenario? I mean, are you looking at to preserve and continue the materialism only for the sake of materialism, or are you able to open and start developing the consciousness reality?
So extreme paradigm changes are ahead for all of us.
Yes, yes.
And one
yes.
of this is the recognition that we need to change our psychology and our consciousness cosmology into one of accepting the fact that we're not alone in the universe.
Yes,
of we need to overcome our sense of fear of our own future. We need to be able to do what I will call deep ecology into our own nature, realizing we have built within us the answers for our own sustainability and our own connectiveness with young people throughout the world and different ethnicities and cultural traditions, recognizes there until the age of 7 or 8, where it's generally erased by the formalities of rational intellectual training in the absence of the artistic intuitive self, which suggests that we are all bonded together collectively on certain wavelengths. And it's the collective, holistic side of the female side of the brain that we're interested in, because this is the artistic side that can be energized, the musical side that can be energized, the higher meta-scientific that can be energized to reach out and do more than simply crawl into a hole, into a chasm, into a cave, and forget about life or drop out.
Yeah, but let's talk about the people who have decided that UFOs aren't real, and they aren't real. And how do we shake them out of that hole? I mean that's what's so disturbing.
I know, we're talking about an associate we just were together with. And, you know, honestly, he even said, even if he saw something, he doesn't know if he would believe it, because his whole consciousness is not open to
it.
Yeah,
it's so disturbing to me.
So he would just rationalize it away. And we were saying about, well, Magellan and some of the ones that the early Indians supposedly saw, they didn't even see them coming.
They couldn't see the ships because they had no reference point for them. And that's exactly, but how do you shake, maybe it's not up
to
us.
Well, this is what my late colleague, Dr. J. Allen Hynek from Harvard University, noted astronomer, skeptic, becoming really a reformer, one who was an insider with respect to this whole science of extraterrestrial reality, said people will be taken kicking and screaming into this new century, recognizing that there are realities that do not fit into their mental, shall we say, givens.
But we have to say that that's one of the reasons I think the extraterrestrials are appearing just selectively in certain places and certain critical times as well, because they're slowly introducing themselves to the planet. You know, there's no need for shock and awe by landing on the White House lawn. They're not trying to take over the planet.
Or Red Square.
Yeah, as Edgar Mitchell said, you know, if they wanted to kill us or take over the planet, they would have done it a long time ago.
But it's interesting. There's these two scenarios. There's the ET appearing here and there, and then there's the government slowly leaking information. It's as if they're working in conjunction. Linda Moulton-House said it's as if there's two hidden hands. There's the government and there's the ET, or what we call contact, and disclosure, and are they working? It seems as almost they're working together, but
I think the government knows that eventually that all the planet is going to know, and I think they're happy that it's not happening right now. So, but slowly they realize that people have to wake up, and so that they won't be super overwhelmed and shocked when these things really do manifest.
They're not that shocking, although to meet a being is still pretty traumatic.
I think it is shocking.
You think
people.
It is shocking?
We've seen certain things, and you know, it is overwhelming.
What have you seen? What were you shocked by?
Large ships drifting overhead.
Was that shocking for you, even though you're prepared? Because this
I think you can be intellectually prepared, but you know when the reality hits, it's
like,
a different
reality.
God.
So that's the very point I want to talk about.
I think
that's really a key moment. It's like we can see all the movies about ETs, but when you have the experience, it's like, oh my God. How do you, even you who have been very experienced, very knowledgeable, very well read, even in you, Desiree Hertog, what happened that moment?
It shakes you up. Even
for someone like
she
you,
she was prepared. Humble enough to accept it. She didn't internalize, she didn't rationalize it. She accepted that this
but
is something
I have to say, one
beyond
other,
the life curve.
One other thing that occasionally is brought up, and I believe was brought up at citizens' hearings, is that the entire environment around the craft is actually transformational.
Yeah, it is. It's a field effect.
It's a field effect.
And
so
that
it's not
affects
just like
the
you're
psyche.
Seeing something going over, it's the whole field.
No, but that affects the psyche, and people feel humming, they feel a buzzing, and that's being activated, and that's also what's traumatic. In a sense, we're talking about the planet's going to be traumatized on some level when this awakening happened because there's no preparation. I think this is what the government is so worried about. How do we prepare people for this trauma of awakening? It's like a birth.
And although we're being very nice about this, Alan, I mean, one of the other reasons we think governments are not coming out with it is it's a very complicated scenario. Not only are there different types of intelligence that have been making their appearance known on the planet, but the level of information, that's what we've been talking about, is far beyond, so far beyond where we
this
are today.
This is requiring more than a singularity. Yeah. It requires more than just one.
Singularity is a joke.
Value system.
Linda Moulton-Howe, I just had a really long 3 or 4 hour conversation with her. If she, some government insider said to her, if you think you're going to sit down and have a cup of coffee with an ET, you're really deluded. It's not their level of consciousness. It's level of consciousness that gets into the spiritual realm that is so overwhelming to start to interface with.
Right.
That's what's really key, and that's what's really behind the future in a way.
And this is why at the Academy we're using different forms of music, art, and science to make people multidimensionally aware of their gifts, because it's on all of these levels of hearing 7 feature films run side by side or simultaneously through a type of
that's what one person said when they met an ET.
Yeah. To be aware and also be prepared for these experiences so you're not blown away.
Well, I think the best way is to be confident within oneself as an infinite being, and to know your consciousness is as valuable and as present as anything you're going to encounter. Because I think sentience is the universal language, awareness and presence.
In fact, in a certain sense, I know we were talking about this, Alan, that it seems in some cases the aliens are here not only just to get us information and to meet us, but also they feel that because of who we are and our soul body as well as our genetic body is of positive interest to
them. I think our genetics carry our emotion. I think when they create a hybridization, they're taking genes that will stimulate an emotional response, because some of these races, from what I've researched, have reached that they deaden their emotional capacity and reached a high intellect, but they realize that didn't get them to God or to spirit. So they coming back because we're really here to feel. We're experiential feeling beings, and that's the purpose of incarnation, is to be emotionally here and as conscious feeling awake beings, and that's what they're after, and they realize they missed that. That's what some of them are here for.
So while we're here, we should all take advantage of that as well.
And this is why we have these great intellectual tools that we ask people to acquired through our website.
But also feeling tools. You also help people feel who they are through
music,
the over self.
And we just came out with this new film called Witness of the Wayshores, which has the testimony of astronaut Ed Mitchell, and has an exhibit of some interesting testimony by various futurists. This is a great springboard for looking at the new future science that is now coming to us from a variety of directions. We have new music, such as Sacred Names, Sacred Codes, that deal with the music of the DNA, RNA experience that will be very valuable for those who have time to listen. We also have interesting books, such as The Over Self Awakening. We have the 72 Divine Names that deals with musical linguistics, transformational linguistics.
This is a technology.
All of these are available now for those who are pushing the envelope, who want to know that the future is already here on our doorstep. We just need to reach more people through this exciting experience.
Well, we need to open our mind.
Every so many thousands of years we have this, should we say, portal to the other worlds that is open to us, that is a renaissance in the making.
Well, you know what Bruce Lipton says. You know Lipton's work. And he says cells, there were only single cells at one point. Those cells came together to form a multicellular organism. Those organisms came together to form communities. So you go from the one to the many to the one. And as we come together as a whole planet with the internet and empathy connecting people, when we come together as that singularity, we will then meet other races, other beings that form a more of a multi-planet association. I know that sounds a little Star Trek, but it's an evolution.
We go from God level zero to God level one or God level two. And by the way, Bruce Lipton is part of our new film called Witness of the Wayshowers.
Oh, well, I think he's great.
Yeah, Wisdom of the Wayshowers.
What were you saying?
So, yeah, so the main thing is that we are at the state of evolving, but it takes us getting our heads together in a greater understanding of love and humanity to be able to really evolve. And I think even the 2045 people that you were talking about earlier.
International Conference, Global Futures, that was just happened in New York.
They're looking at the mind even moving into a holographic state, but it's still.
But they don't even understand the mind. How could they even, do this?
But we also feel, I mean, the idea of evolution is so important, and our evolution, as we're saying, is going into this huge consciousness field, becoming more aware, becoming more conscious of all the things that we do and how we interact with each other and how we interact with the universe and how we care for the environment. This is all part of the higher work that we
I agree. And also to bring in the experience of Dr. J.J. Hertog, where you interfaced with a multidimensional realm, that is also an awakening. People think this is all there is, this three-dimensional plane. In your experience, your awareness shifted to include...
When I saw the other life forms.
He actually was able to go into these other dimensional realms.
He come back, and as I showed you in the audience at various locations, even on film, that there was residual light around my body after my experience.
But even in the experience, I want to know how your cognition shifted to a more of a multidimensional awareness.
Well, I was aware that I was a multidimensional citizen by the virtue of seeing and experiencing things in a hyperactive state.
See, that's the future. That really, I think what you said right there is the key to human future. It is about ETs, it is about technology, but it's really about what you said.
Coming back to planet Earth, I saw scenarios of how some 24 billion tons of topsoil are taken every year by destruction. I saw how the oceans would be polluted. I saw how cities would suffer the problems of overpopulation.
But you
all
also
of these
saw
things
our potential.
Were potential scenarios, but on the other side, I saw cities of the future. And this is our future, that there will be spherical cities on our future planet as it is restored. We will have a way of restoring the oceans through a type of inexpensive way of water filtration, purification. We will have the way of using the flora and fauna of the Amazon for new medicines. Fantastic opportunities to reach the cities of space, utilizing the power of the mind to reach out and recognize that we can reprogram things at a great distance. Futurism will mean future mind. Future mind will be future spirit. Future spirit will be the unity of science and spirituality together in the cosmic dance.
Right. Thank in a certain you. Sense, all the wisdom of the universe is available to us. All the wisdom of whether it's extraterrestrials or what we call ultra-terrestrials, some people call them angelic beings, is all available to us. We simply need to develop who we are and realize that we have that ability to connect mm-hmm. with the global universal mind.
Right. I think futurism really is the flowering of humanity in all our base and divine potentials, our abilities to feel each other, to be empathic, to be telepathic, to supply the needs of a hungry planet, the energies of a hungry planet. This will create a more of an emphasis on creativity, and creativity allows us to feel more as human beings. This is where I keep going back to. We're here to awaken our feeling nature as creative beings. The arts and music and self-expression is really the key to any futurism.
Well, exactly. If the robots keep coming into the workplace, we'll have plenty of time for art and leisure.
And the other thing, getting back to the ETs, free energy, and that's another reason for the cover-up, is that once we have free energy, and it's obviously free, I mean, look at the energy in the universe. Look at the energy in space. It's obviously free. It's available. We just need the technology to tap into it. In fact,
we do not need robotic avatars.
Okay, we don't.
As Ray Kurzweil and others have suggested, we are avatars in the making. We are doomed to perfection, according to what the Keys of Enoch tell us.
Beautiful.
Why? Because God's plan has no end. It is life in the house of many mansions. In other words, we have many super universes to experience, some physical, some non-physical. We are just at the very beginning of realizing the consciousness physics of the power of our mind is so wonderful that it can free us from the mind locks that we've superimposed upon ourselves by an orthodox science that is too three-dimensional.
Right. Mind lock is what we were dealing with our colleague tonight. But just to wrap up, Desiree, you're a doctor in environmental study. And you know, this spiritual awakening, you travel around the world. What are some immediate steps that we can do to prepare a greater future?
We do believe we're living on Schoolhouse Earth. That's the name of our new book, Over Self-Awakening, The Schoolhouse to the Soul, because this is the schoolhouse. So each one of us has our own realities that we're dealing with, actually, quite individualistic, but also part of the collective. We need to just become consciously more aware of everything we do and don't feel it's the other person who's having the problem. We can all play a role in transformation and helping the planet go through this next state of really evolution. We believe we are evolving into a oneness with other levels of intelligence, a oneness with each other. And this has been the greatest thing. It's not necessarily the limitation of what you were saying, Alan. It's also the limitation that we don't understand how we are all interconnected into a unified field, that we really can feel and be in oneness with our brothers and sisters all over the planet and also all over space.
So this is the moment where we seize the opportunity to see the new image of humanity, that the human evolution converts into what I and the Keys of Enoch call the higher evolution, that which is our transport to a distant but futuristic civilizations that we can all share in. And this is the opportunity to take this tremendous energy field that we live in and to see it relating to all the other fields of knowledge, that we are the living tree of life. And if we can take this metaphor, this symbol, and make it really work in the realm of new consciousness birth, we can have an emergent spirituality and an emergent scientific reality that converge the best of both worlds.
And an emergent cosmic family reunion, in a sense, that will merge many, many worlds.
Yes.
And so we're now at a critical point in our history where we can only, in a way, go forward. But what direction will we go forward in? Will we take the downward spiral?
Or the upper spiral. And this is what we say to our worldwide audiences. Even though the world may momentarily go down, the Merkaba, the vehicle of light connection, goes up.
Well, Thank you.
And this is the new Genesis.
The new Genesis is born in us through our own power to shift our mind.
Yes, we are the Adams and Eves of the future. We can lock ourselves into the purgatory of Paradise Lost, or we can see ourselves as the reinventors, the discoveries, the co-creators of a fantastic opportunity to connect what we know to be our cosmic counterparts, cosmic civilizations, indeed, the living universe is within us. We're just beginning to understand the moment of the I am within the human I am.
Right, and that means just shifting your awareness a little bit to embrace new realities. It really is that simple. I mean, we have to overcome the mind locks of our conditioning and to do what the Greek philosopher Heraclitus said, expect the unexpected because it's difficult and hard to find.
He said all things are in flux, panterai. In the Greek, all things change. So we invite our listeners out there to come to the archives of the Academy for Future Science.org or keysofenoch.org and look at the plethora of teaching materials, musical opportunities, film documentaries that we have available for you to use as you raise consciousness.
And I want to just thank everyone. You have any final words there, Desiree?
No, but it's just we ask people to look up to the stars, but also look within themselves.
That's it. That's like that last painting by Da Vinci, the John the Baptist, where one finger's pointing within, the other pointing up. This is the balance of futurism. This is it.
Onward and upward.
And inward.
Into
the future. Inward and upward. And as I was saying, it's just about expanding the possibilities of what we think are true. This is why I do this program, because I get to talk to people like you who are living the future. It's not a possibility for you, and that's why I like you. That's why I like hanging out with you. It's a reality of your experience. You are the way showers. And I think if everyone listening were able to push beyond their limited belief, we would have a new planet, and it'll be a glorious, beautiful planet. So
let us work towards this.
We are working towards it. Thank you.
Many blessings to all of you throughout the world.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Desiree Hertog, Dr. J.J. Hertog, the Academy for Future Science. This has always been a great joy to sit down and have a conversation with you because of the lifelong dedication to this work. I mean, these people do not stop.
Here we are at 11 o'clock at night.
They're doing this day and night, 24 hours a day, and this is what your life has been dedicated to, and I can testify to the fact that you live and breathe the possibility of a greater future. So thank you. Thank you. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you are enjoying this program, you can go to my website here. Many programs along similar topics of how to create new realities. Go to newrealities.com, and you can also email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening. I welcome your comments, and I'll look for you next week. Peace.